Our second lesson will also serve as our sermon text this morning from Revelation chapter 21. The 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each of the gates is made out of one pearl, and the street of the city is pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God has given it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. There is no day when its gates will be shut, for there will be no night in that place. They will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Nothing that is unclean, and no one who does what is detestable or who tells lies will ever enter it, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all his saints. Amen. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Growing up, I was blessed enough to have parents who were willing to sit through a timeshare presentation so that they could take the family on a 3-day trip to a resort. Maybe you know how those work. Sit through this 90-minute presentation about how you should buy this timeshare, and we'll give you 3 nights at a hotel or whatever gift they're going to give you. It was nice that they did that because it's dangerous. When you come to a timeshare presentation, there's often very high-pressure sales tactics, and there's a very high cost at the end. Today we sit through what feels a little bit like a timeshare presentation. But it's a presentation we really want to sit through. We sit through God's presentation of heaven. And we sit through it because there's no sales pressure necessary. And because you're already signed up. When you sit through one of these presentations, it's probably because you really feel like you need a vacation. And that was true for the people who were hearing John's revelation back in his day, and it's still true for us today. Because the book of Revelation shows in vivid symbolic pictures what the Apostle Paul was talking about in the epistle reading. We must go through many troubles to enter the kingdom of God. Revelation shows a series of 7 visions, all repeating the same period of time, the time after Jesus ascended into heaven until he returns again on the last day to create a new heavens and a new earth. And with sometimes terrifying pictures, Revelation shows what Christians will have to suffer during this time. That's why there's pictures of dragons and beasts from the sea and beasts from the earth and locust armies. It's showing with vivid pictures all the troubles that Christians face in this life. Troubles like war. We know about that. Troubles like natural disasters. That's on our mind recently. Troubles like worry and grief. Troubles like sin, death, and the devil trying to take away our faith. And so in the book of Revelation, we have not only these pictures of what Christians are going to go through, so we know God's in control, he knows what's happening, but we also have visions again and again of God's victory. Of the reason we go through these troubles, to enter the kingdom of God. And in Revelation chapter 21 today, we get a vision like that. A vision that leads us to hold on, that shows us it's worth it to stay faithful, to hold on to Christ, to hold on to the Lamb. So let's see it. Let's sit through God's presentation of heaven. It begins with symbols. Of course, it has to have symbols, because how could God truly describe what paradise will be like when Jesus comes back and you are brought back from the dead and you have this resurrected body and the new heavens and new earth comes? How could he really tell us? in a way we could understand. Here he uses pictures. And this is how he starts. The 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each of the gates is made out of one pearl. Heaven is kind of like a city, God says, with 12 gates. 12 gates, why 12? 12 tribes, 12 apostles. It's the number that talks about believers, God's church. In other words, this is a place for people who believe in Jesus. It's a place where all believers get to be. There's 12 gates, and what are they made out of? Each gate is made out of a single pearl. About 150 years before John's day, Julius Caesar, the great emperor, paid the equivalent of $350,000 for a single tiny pearl. How much do these gates have to be worth? Don't think of a little gate going into your backyard. No, a city gate, like the Brandenburg Gate, like a gate that you have to look up to walk through, a gate bigger than your two-story house, a huge city gate carved entirely out of a single precious pearl. What is God saying? Heaven is like, well, it's like a place that you'd sell everything so that you could buy it. It's so precious, it's worth more than anything you could imagine. And what are you walking on as you walk through this gigantic pearly gate? The street of the city is pure gold, like transparent glass. In other words, the purest gold. Gold so pure, it's like the purest glass that a glass artist could make. And why is it pure? Why is it transparent like this? It's so that it can reflect. Think of the glory of a snow-capped mountain. The only thing more glorious than looking at that is when in front of the mountain is a giant, peaceful lake. And on the placid surface of the lake, you see a reflection. Twice you get to see now the glory of this mountain. That's what heaven is like. It's a place so glorious, it's a place so pure that it can reflect. It can reflect what? Well, the best part of heaven, the glory of God. John looks around and, well, he's kind of like a little kid when he's thinking about what's heaven like. Kids, what do you think heaven is like? Maybe like one gigantic church service, right? Some other pictures in Revelation sound like that. Maybe the grown-ups are thinking, yes, it's one gigantic church service with the Gloria from TLH 1941 hymnal, the perfect hymnal. That's what heaven is like. John's looking around for the church, the temple, and he can't find it. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it because the glory of God has given it light and the Lamb is its lamp. No temple, because it's not needed, right? The temple in the Old Testament was a place where God could show a little bit of his glory and be with his people if they did enough ceremonies, if they followed enough rules that they could be set apart from their uncleanness and get a little bit closer to God. There's no temple. There's no church building. No 100-year-old beautiful St. Paul's church building where God comes to us through means. Once or twice a week through word and sacrament, that's how he gets his glory to us now. But it's not needed because here God can live with us directly. The full glory of the Lord that used to make sinners tremble because there's no way I can be close to that. Now, it's something we love. The sun and the moon have to leave. We don't need you anymore. Because here's the glory of God for you, like a lamp to light your way, like a thousand sunrises warming and cheering your heart because sin and death are gone. And God in all his love is with you with all his glory forever. This is kind of like what paradise will be like. And it's so wonderful that there's no sales pressure needed at this point. no sales pressure to want to join this place that's like a bustling, prosperous, peaceful city. We just want to be there. What can I do? What can I pay? I want to get in. And that's what we see next. People are streaming into this city. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. There is no day when its gates will be shut, for there will be no night in that place. They will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. See all these people coming to bring their gifts. Think how much bigger this is than when this happened in a very tiny way when Jesus was just a little boy. We three kings, maybe three wise men, came and brought gifts fit for a king to Jesus. But they were the only ones, right? The other king close by, King Herod, wanted to kill him. It wasn't safe. It didn't seem peaceful at all when the Prince of Peace was born. But now the Prince of Peace has revealed in full what we know only through faith right now, his true peace. Do you see that? The gates are never shut. There's no nighttime. This is a country that needs no border security, no passport checks, no curfews, no police. There's no crime. There's no night. It's perfectly prosperous and peaceful. And nations are streaming to it. And at the heads of these countless nations are countless kings, rulers who have been brought to faith to know that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, their King. They bring everything they can. They bow in front of him. Imagine what this will be like. Countless people, the only thing they can think of is, I want to give everything to this person that I love, like a little kid with a drawing. I want to give this to you. Think of people. This is King Solomon in all his splendor with the Queen of Sheba. This is Constantine the Great, the emperor marching forward. This is people like Frederick the Wise in Luther's day. This is people like, I don't know, Ronald Reagan walking forward. All of these people coming forward to present everything to their king. To say, everything I have is yours. I don't want it. All I want is you. No sales pressure necessary. So sign me up, right? You don't need to tell me more, God. This is where I want to be. Ah. But now the cost comes. This priceless place of pearls and gold to be with God. What does it cost to be there? Well, John says, nothing that is unclean and no one who does what is detestable or who tells lies will ever enter it. Ah. That's the cost. If we want a perfect place, there can only be perfect people there. About 8 years ago, Fox tried to make a show called Utopia. And what they did is they designed a paradise. And it was going to be a reality show. They were going to have these people live in paradise for a year, and they were going to follow them every day and film and just see what happens, right? They had 2,000 people apply. They whittled it down to 15 contestants. You know how long it took them to change this paradise into something that's worth reality TV? By the end of the first day, one person was severely sick with alcohol poisoning, and two separate fights had broken out. As one reviewer put it, this show started with a very lofty goal, but it quickly turned into a hellish slog. Sinful people have the capacity to turn even paradise into hell. And that's why God says no unclean person can come in. Well, that's it, right? I guess that's the cost. No unclean person will ever enter it. Unclean, it's a ceremonial word, right? No person who's ever done anything that has led them further away from God instead of closer to God can come in. That's it, you're done. John says, no one who does what is detestable can come in. Detestable, this is an idolatry word. This means that anyone who has thought that their life is more about them than about God and his glory, it's idolatry. You can't come in. Anyone who's used any blessing of God for themselves in a selfish way instead of always for the glory of God and the good of their neighbor, you can't come in. And neither can anyone who tells lies. And you might think, well, I get the first two, but lies, what's the big deal? It's just a lie. Well, who's the father of lies? Satan, for whom hell was prepared. God says, if you've ever heard God's truth, God's word, and thought, well, did God really say? And you don't belong. No one who does these things will ever enter, and that's the cost. But that's what makes the end of this text so amazing. Because we know the book of Revelation is for us. It's for our comfort. And so what do we see here? Nothing that is unclean and no one who does what is detestable or who tells lies will ever enter it except those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No one that's unclean, right? No one, 0%. Well, except those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you get to the pearly gates, there's not a cash register. There's not a place to swipe or tap your card. There's not a contract to sign. There's books. When the book of Revelation talks about this, it talks about the two kinds of people who come forward to these gates. And the one is the group that doesn't believe. Those who come forward and think, you know what, I can pay the price. I can handle it. I've been good enough. I've been clean enough. I'll pay. And for those who rely on themselves, the book of the dead is opened. And there, yes, every deed, every unclean action, every detestable thought is there written in full, and they are not allowed to enter. But for those who believe, for those who have been chosen from eternity by God's grace, written in the book of life by the blood of the Lamb, for those who come forward relying on the Lamb, saying, I have not been clean enough, but I rely on Jesus, for those, the book of life is opened. And God says, oh yeah, what's your name? Oh, no, I know it. I know you by name, and there you are. All expenses paid, you are free to go. Come. Enjoy my Father's happiness. That's what it's like. When you get to the pearly gates, when you get to the streets of gold, there's no pop quiz, there's no payment required. You are already signed up. Walk right in. Because Jesus paid the price, right? That's what God planned from before time began. This is going to be a very expensive resort, paradise. Who's going to pay? Not you. I'll pay. I will send my beloved son. How dearly it cost him to give up paradise, to give up heaven, to come live through this life that can be like a living hell. Jesus did that for you. He lived a life that was perfectly clean. Every thought, word, and action set apart for God. Every purpose of God in his life fulfilled. He did that for you, and that's the life God sees when you come to the pearly gates. And then Jesus paid the price. He paid the price with his holy, precious blood, the price only he could pay. He paid for paradise for you. And when he rose again from the dead, he started the presentation. This is what it will be like. This is what it will be like when I turn all your sorrow and grief into joy. This is what it will be like when I bring you back from the dead with a glorified body and invite you in to enjoy paradise forever. And he gives us glimpses even now. As he does set you apart through his glory given to you in word and sacrament, he sets you apart now for his glory to show you that he will, in full, bring to completion his work, set you apart as completely holy on the last day so you can forever be with him. And that's the best part about it all, right? Being with him. About a year ago, my little family was in North Carolina. Outer Banks on the beaches because we had a friend who had planned this awesome vacation, paid for it all, rented the house, planned it all out. And then as we're about to leave, they call and say, something's come up, we can't go. Ugh. But they said, you have to go because it's too late, we can't cancel, and we've already paid for it, so please, go anyways and enjoy it. And it was wonderful, enjoying this all-expenses-paid vacation. But it was a little bit of a bummer because the whole reason we wanted to go was to be with them. Jesus has paid it all. And yes, you can look forward to the pearly gates, the place as pure as gold, the place where God's glory will outshine the sun. And we look forward to all of that. But the best part is when you get there, He will be there. The one who is with you now, the one who will turn all of your grief into joy, He will be there, presenting you with glories, with paradise, with a presentation of heaven that you will never want to end. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.